some people are probably wondering, my brother made a profession of faith years and years and years ago, and he was baptized by Earl Travis, who was the pastor here in at that time, Doyle Snell's Pond, same time I was and my sister, and I don't know who all else. It seems like there's just a lot of people that day. So he made a profession of faith and all that. He wasn't a big churchgoer, but so I wanted you guys to know that. So if you're scratching your head and didn't want to ask, that's the answer. Now, we started off reading Romans chapter 3, verse 10, where it said, "There is none righteous, not even one." There is none righteous, not even one. Going right out the gate. Now, with that kind of introduction, I want to explain to you the things that are important. Years and years and years and years ago, not so much around here because we still are a little slower than the rest of the East Coast and West Coast, but a person's worth was established by family, friends, and the community that that person lived in. How was that person? How did they act? How did they treat their family? What did they do? How did they benefit the community? What did they bring to the table? Were they good? Were they bad? Were they indifferent? Granted, it was always nice to have a little jingle in your pockets, but there was a lot of people who did not have much money, but that's okay. They still had good moral quality, and that is what established your value in society. When I started growing up, starting in 53, there was a change. And I realize around here there's still a lot of people, especially us older ones, were raised with an emphasis on the importance of family and community. But even that has slowly dropped, and now we're just about down to, it's important for family is important. Because society either openly or subtly taught us, even the cartoons taught us that if you want to make a mark in this world, if you want to be a person who is held in high honor or a person who is recognized, you needed to have wealth and then power. Wealth. Work. Get wealth. But the rich people will tell you, or as they get older, after they become really wealthy or they're raised in a wealthy family, they will tell you what you really, really need is to start with the word power. Because if you got power, you'll end up, you can accumulate the wealth. You can pressure people, you can sell favors, but if you can grab the power, but even as they approach their passing away time, it's like, I got to the top of the mountain and there was nothing up there. It was just blue sky. And I struggled all this time and I tromped on my family and my friends and my community. I just thought, wealth, power, then I would be happy. And they get up there and they don't have it. So most Americans on this Labor Day, we are working ourselves to death. I had somebody today say, I plan on just working till I drop dead. Work, 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 that's all I think, that's it. And their whole life is based around, that is how they evaluate themselves, is worth and power. And so many people are just constantly grabbing for that elusive dream. And then once they grab a hold of it and they get there, it's just nothing. Nothing. Now, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, this is where it gets better, the Old Testament and the New Testament have a different set of priorities. The first and foremost thing that both Testaments teach is get righteous. You need to be righteous before God, first and foremost, before you need money, before you need wealth, before you get power, before you have anything. Before you even eat your Wheaties in the breakfast time, you need to make sure that you have got righteousness on your side and it's before God. Old Testament teaches it, New Testament teaches it. But here's a fly in the ointment in Romans chapter 3. As you drop down, I was at 10, now we're dropped down to 20. It says, because of the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, he being God. No flesh will be justified in his sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. He's going, Old Testament, you've got to be righteous. You've got to have it. But here's the problem. If you pursue it by trying to achieve it, by being good enough according to what the law says, you're not going to make it. You cannot achieve a level of perfection that, and this time perfection means in English, without a flaw. We all stumble. We all make mistakes of some kind in our life. And Paul just clearly says, both sides are saying you've got to have the righteousness of God. You've got to have it so you can stand before Him. And then the good news, and that I should say, but the good news is in the New Testament. And the word but always cancels out everything that went before it. The wealth, the power, and trying to keep all the laws aren't going to do it. But the good news of the New Testament is that we can get right. It tells us in the New Testament how to do it. And it starts off in 21, same chapter, chapter 3, 21 and 22 verses. Now listen to what it says. But now, apart from the law, apart from it, the righteousness of God has been made manifest, which just means He has shown us, He has revealed it, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God. He's saying, folks, the law says you've got to have it. The New Testament says this is how you get it. And both witnessed, it's both the law and the prophets witness to this fact. According to the law, now when Paul, who's Jewish, who's a trained rabbi, when Paul speaks accordingly, he's saying the law, he's referring to the first five books of Moses. It's called the Torah, the law. The law. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. So when he says law, he's saying, in that book, there's references made that testify to what the New Testament teaches. And the first one would be Abraham. Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him as righteousness. Also, the prophets point toward it. The Habakkuk says, the just shall live by faith, which is in Hebrew, you bring it over into the New Testament Greek, and it says, the righteous shall live by faith. Even the prophets, and I'm not just saying, well, here's just two. Only two references in the Old Testament. If you want, I can make you a list of other places that just reference this idea. But the idea is still established. It takes two witnesses to make something true. The law says you can have righteousness apart from keeping the law. You can have it by being like Abraham and trusting in God's Word. Habakkuk says, you walk by faith. You walk by faith in God's Word and you shall have righteousness. The just shall live by faith. The righteous shall live by it. And I don't mean by live as in trying to keep something. It's because you do believe, you will live. Your life will be there. You will have a good life. And I want to explain to you a couple of the words in that passage. Let me continue on. Now, I'll review a bit. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifest by being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God. And here it is. Through faith in Jesus Christ. For all those who believe, for there is no distinction. Doesn't matter whether you're rich. Doesn't matter if you're poor. Doesn't matter if you have absolute power and you're an absolute monarch. Doesn't matter if you're a bum down and out. He says there's no distinction. If you have faith and if you believe, those are the two words, and they are actually two separate words this time. The word believe means if you believe, you've got to be persuaded. You've got to have confidence that what you believed is to be true. You've got to go beyond just persuaded and confident. You have to know what you believe is true. And so that's when you hear the word believe in the Scripture, in the New Testament, that's what it's meaning. You've got to know what you're hearing is truth. And that's where faith comes in. Faith is actually, they're both related to each other, but faith brings in a dimension that you don't hear talked about. Faith means that you are persuaded because you've heard. Faith means you are persuaded because you've heard a voice call, a voice that spoke to your spirit, the Spirit of the Lord. You've heard the Word of God speaking to you. You've heard something, and because of that, you have been moved to say, I know this to be a fact. You have got to have that utter confidence that what was spoke to you is truth. And you've got to hear that voice speaking that word to you. And it can be spoken by someone like me, just reading the Word and explaining it. First time I heard the Word was John 3:16. Some little old white-haired lady from Gideon's. I do not know who she is to this day, but she walked in fifth grade and she said, if you can memorize John 3:16 by the time I leave, and then she quoted, for God so loved the world, she quoted it all out, and then she stopped and she talked a while longer and she said, John 3:16, and she quoted it. She says, repeat that. By the time it was done, she said, now every person who can repeat that will get a New Testament Gideon Bible. Boy, we were all working at getting it that time. And so she passed out the Bibles. It can be a person speak the Word of God to you. You can read the Word of God. Excuse me. You can read the Word of God and have it speak to your spirit. You can hear God's Spirit nudging you going, hey, you need to go down to that church, or you need to go speak to that person, and they will tell you a truth, and then you'll get there and you go, okay, I understand it and I accept it. That is what it's pointing at when it says you believe or you trust. You've heard and you have confidence that what you hear is absolute truth. Doyle, all you do is pound on this, pound on this, pound on this. Every time we go to church, a lot of churches, all they do is pound on that subject. Why? Why always pounding on that subject? You've got to have righteousness. Why? It's easy. Because the righteous people have promises from God. The righteous people have promises from God that no other group have. And it goes all the way back into the Old Testament, and it comes up into the New Testament also, but there's just a few I'd like to read to you. If you are righteous, here's one of the first ones that I can cite. I can explain it to you better after church if you'd like to. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 6 through 8. Blessed shall you be when you come in. Blessed shall you be when you go out. Now, I'm just quoting little phrases out of it. It's an extended paragraph, so you can read it all. And then at the end of verse 8, it goes on to say, and all that you put your hand to shall prosper. Or all that you put your hand to shall be blessed. That is a promise to people who are righteous. Not just people who acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, but somebody who is actually walking by that faith and saying, I hear what God says. I believe what He says. And now I'm reading in the Bible that it says, I am going to be blessed when I come in, that's come home, or when I go out into the world. I will be blessed. But you can't just say it and say, yeah, okay, I'm going to be blessed. It's something that you also have to walk by faith and say, I know this to be true. Why? Because God told me it's true. And I have arrived at the place where I know God does not lie. Here's another one that adds on to this. Proverbs 21, 26. The first of it talks about the lazy man who's too lazy to even do anything. He won't stick out his hand to do a lick of labor, and he's grumpy. You need to read verse 25 before that, and basically it comes out this. These people are too lazy to do anything, but they want all the time. And then they're grumpy toward everybody that has something, and they think that it should be given to them just because of who they are. But the Bible says that the righteous gives and does not hold back. It doesn't mean that he gives foolishly. It just means that he gives. He doesn't have to hold back. Why? Because he's righteous. He gives without holding back because he is blessed. When he comes in, he's blessed. When he goes out, he's blessed. And whatever he puts his hands to shall be blessed. So he understands the principle. He understands the promise of God, would be a better way to say it, and go, I am a blessed person. And I will be blessed. And I can tell you this, as soon as you take that stand, everything's going to go wrong in your life. Do you think the devil and the world and your old self is going to let you just slide right into that easily? Nope. You're going to have to take a stand and say, I don't care that everything looks like it's crumbling around me. I am blessed. I am blessed. When you walk in your house, you say, I am blessed. Look at all the little kids. Look at all the mess they've made and say, I'm blessed. And when you go out and you see the lawn and everything else, say, I'm blessed. I've got to mow that thing. A lot of people don't have lawns. You know, a friend of mine came from Detroit. They saw my house. And they said, you know where I live. And they said, you mean all of that yard is yours? And I'm going, yeah. And it's like, man, we'll never own that much land. And I'm going, man, I know people that have front yards that are 5 acres big and they mow them all the time. And they just looked at me and go, oh yeah, around here, 5 acre yard, yeah, it's no big deal. But we are blessed and we are righteous and we need to understand it. Sometimes we just need to make that statement. Jesus quoted scripture at the devil and say, I am righteous. And He's going to bless me. I might not have enough to share right now, but there's coming a time when I will be blessed enough. I will have to share because I know I'm going to be replenished. Now, a lot of people go, no, listen to this. It says that you will have enough to share, right? Yes. But first you have to have something. First you have to be righteous, and then God will bless you and give you enough so that you can share with other people. So that you can share with the church. You can share with the Christians. You can share with your family. You can share with your neighbors. You can share. You can share because God will bless you when you're doing it responsibly. But it always starts with the righteous will be able to share. The righteous will be able to share. And they will be able to do it with confidence because they know from experience that it will return to them and they shall be blessed. Now, over in Psalm 92, I do want to read these out loud to you. Psalm 92, verses 12 through 15. And notice it starts with the word, the righteous. The righteous man will flourish like a palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They shall yield fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and every green. And let me get it right. They shall be full of sap and very green. To declare that the Lord is upright, He is my rock. There is no unrighteousness in Him. It starts right off with, boom. The righteous man shall flourish. That is a statement from God as a fact to a person who knows that they have been gifted with righteousness because of what Jesus did. If you know that you've been gifted, you can start saying, I will flourish. And notice it doesn't matter what age. Once you come to the realization, I am righteous, you can flourish. You can flourish, and that word flourish means you will just keep growing. You will start showing new growth. You will keep blossoming. You will keep springing up. You will be resilient. And the word very green there is the idea of luxuriant, lush growth. You will be there, and you will be luxurious. You will be like a palm tree. And as you know, palm trees, to me, look like columns. And their columns standing up, and then they've got the top on them that comes down. And most people, if you go to Israel, please do. If not, try to find one sometime. These trees are like columns, and they grow up. And then off to the side, you'll see this brown thing hanging down. And it's a great big batch of dates. And in the Middle East at this time, the dates were considered like candy. Oh my gosh, you had a palm tree, a date palm tree. Your kids would have been crazy. Yay, we've got date palms, because it was considered the candy of that era. So if you're going to be a righteous person, you will flourish. You'll be fruitful. You'll have things that are tasty and wonderful that other people will covet. You'll be like a column in a courtyard. You will be planted in the house of God. And it says you'll be like the cedar. the cedar of Lebanon. The cedar of Lebanon means it is a survivor. They get old. They age. They age well. They endure for years and years, and they are a deeply rooted tree. And they're green. And no matter what's going on around them, they are always green and standing majestically. And they get broader and more awesome as time goes by. And that's the whole point of naming these two trees. Is one, you're going to be like a column, stately. And the other one's going to be like a cedar tree, magnificent. And as time goes by, you will just keep expanding and growing till eventually you can give shade to other beings underneath your limbs. You'll be able to, like the birds and the animals, be able to fly in and find shelter there. And people will say, look at that tree. Is that not an awesome, incredible tree? It was honored, the cedar tree was honored by being the wood that God used through Solomon to build his temple. It had lots and lots of cedar from Lebanon that brought down, and it was to show Jesus Christ's magnificence and the smell and the aroma it gave inside the temple. So all this stuff is yours, but you have to realize it's yours. And it says that you will yield fruit even in old age. It doesn't matter how old you are. Once you realize that you can be fruitful, once you realize I am righteous, and you start taking that stand, I am going to be a righteous, flourishing being because I am a Christian. But it also says, and this is the point, that all of this righteousness, all this flourishing, all this blessedness, all this fruit that's coming your way is there so that you can declare that the Lord is upright. You are blessed and you can say, the Lord is upright. I am not perfect, but the Lord is upright. The Lord made me righteous. I stand before Him without a flaw because of Jesus Christ. Because what He did when God sees me, He sees a palm tree. He sees a flourishing cedar tree of Lebanon. And this is how God beholds us. And this is what God expects us to come. And He encourages us to do that. But on top of all that, here's my favorite one. Proverbs 4, verse 18. But the path of the righteous. You notice how all this stuff hinges on the word righteous. But the path of the righteous is like a light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the perfect day. Or you can read it, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until full day. And that's the way we're to live our life. Christians, our lives are to be getting better and better. It's not just getting saved and that's it. We've got to grow up and mature and let this growth happen to us. It doesn't happen overnight. A cedar of Lebanon does not become big and majestic overnight. The cedar of Lebanon grows and experiences, and God has to teach us and train us. And sometimes He has to call us out and say, I've got to correct you because you're not doing something quite right, and I want you to flourish. Therefore, and then He'll explain it to you. But also, we're going all the way back to the first. Your coming in and your going out will be blessed. First, you're righteous. You're going to be blessed. You're coming in. You've got to come in before you can go out. You've got to come into righteousness before you can go out in righteousness. You've got to come in so that you can go out and face the world that's darkness. You've got to come in and become a dawning light that is going to get brighter and brighter and brighter before you can go out into the darkness and shine. We need to come into an assembly of Christians. An assembly so that we can be informed and we can be taught and we can be nourished. I have not heard these kind of sermons. I did not hear these kind of sermons for years and years because it was too busy telling me, you're a sinner and you're going to hell and you've got to repent. And that's all. And I just heard it over and over. And I'm like, okay, I've got that part of it. Now what? And they should have tacked on. And because you do repent, you're now a righteous person. And you are going to flourish. And you are going to be blessed. And you're going to mature. And you're going to become majestic. You're going to become stately. You're going to be like a dispenser of candy to the rest of the world. It's going to be incredibly awesome. Don't give up. Just keep staying in there. Keep assembling. Keep learning. Keep going and keep growing, because you will be blessed. And because you're blessed, you'll be able to stand before the world and declare, God is righteous. God is upright. He can forgive sin and still maintain His uprightness. He can bless even a person like me. And look what He did in my life. And we can flourish without regard to age, youth, old, middle age, doesn't matter. Our God can accomplish all of that once we realize who we are and say, I believe that too now. And then it becomes reality, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the essence of things not yet seen. So we can take these promises and say, this is what I hope for. I know it to be true, and I'm going to see it sometime in the future. And that is walking by faith. Part of this is starting with Christ died for our sins, and now we're going to take the Lord's Supper. Like I've said before, this is an open church. If you have not had communion, you can take it if you want to have. As long as you are a confessed believer, you're welcome to partake with us. Would the elders come forward and we will have communion.